Welcome to the Jet Setting Family Travel Podcast. My name's Rod.
And I'm Santi.
And we are here in Kuala Lumpur today and wanted to begin this episode by telling you a little bit about the experiences that we've had here in this city in Malaysia. What do you think about Kuala Lumpur so far?
Yeah, some of the moments were frustrating, but like most of it was really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had some pretty phenomenal experiences.
Yeah.
I don't know if phenomenal is the right word, but it's been very interesting so far. One of the places that we went to is the Kuala Lumpur Bird Park.
And there was one funny thing that really happened that my mom and dad thought was funny, but I didn't think was funny.
Yeah, let me tell you this story. So in the Kuala Lumpur Bird Park.
Yeah, we were feeding fishies, but then we ran out. And then I like discovered that there was some more bird food that nobody fed to the fishies. But like it wasn't in the container that we got it from. And then we fed it and all of a sudden I had one. And then I just like fell right into the pond.
Fell into the koi pond, right?
Yeah.
And how did that make you feel?
Like, made me feel kind of frustrated when I was going with my dad. Because, like, there was some kids and they said something like, ew. They said something like that.
Why would they say something like that?
Because, like, they saw me wet and then that's just what they said.
And how did you feel afterward?
I felt really, like, mad.
But then you felt okay, right?
Yeah.
Because it was a hot day and you dried off super fast. So then we were able to enjoy the rest of the day at the bird park.
Yeah.
Did you see a bunch of birds?
Yeah, I saw a lot of birds.
Yeah. Did you get to touch any of them?
Yeah, there was one on my arm.
There was one on your arm, huh? It was an African gray parrot that we put on your arm. What did you think of that?
It kind of was a little scary for me.
Scary?
Yeah.
But it was just a parrot.
But it was really noisy in my ears.
Yeah? How did he sound?
He sounded kind of a little bit too loud.
Yeah? Like, give me an example.
Like, he got like this. Gah! Gah! Gah!
Well, fun times in Kuala Lumpur so far. If you want to check out any of our pictures from these adventures, you can always find them on our Instagram page at the Jet Setting Family. But today we are excited to share a really cool conversation that Jessica had with Matt and Chelsea from the blog and Instagram page Unsettled Down.
Yeah, they have a really interesting way of traveling the world.
So without further ado, here is Jessica with Matt and Chelsea from Unsettled Down.
On today's episode, we are so excited to be joined by Chelsea, Matt, who along with their daughter Kai have been traveling the world full-time for the past 17 months, documenting their adventures on their Instagram page, Unsettled Down. We are so excited for this interview because one of the questions our family is so often asked is how can we afford it? It's such a hard question to answer because there are so many ways to afford or fund travel. So we're excited for their family to give you a new perspective, a new idea, and maybe give some tips and tricks to how they afford their lifestyle. So Chelsea and Matt, welcome to our show. We're so excited to have you here today.
Thanks, Jessica.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Can you tell us a little bit about your family? What led you guys to leave and travel full time?
Okay, so I'll take it away. We are Chelsea, Matt, and little Kylan, who is 2 years old, about to be three. And we write a blog called Unsettled Down. We've been backpacking for about 17 months and mostly through Europe. And we have been working while we wander our way and we've been saving more money than ever and slowly but surely getting us out of our student debt.
Yeah. The best thing about it is that we have made our day where we can have more time with each other. And that's probably the best benefit other than all this fantastic places we've been.
And so how we made this decision, we always had this dream of buying an RV and working remotely via our RV, you know, visiting all the national parks. But we went to go look at RVs and things changed.
The sticker shock when we first saw those RVs kind of drove us away from from that idea. And then I had a crazy idea that maybe compared to the rent we were paying in California, maybe renting somewhere else like Europe, maybe we could find a month rent for less than our California rent. And it turned out that that was the case. So we started looking around and ended up going to Italy for about half the cost of our rent.
It's amazing because a lot of people, even us, I will say, maybe it's just our impression is, you know, we started in Southeast Asia knowing it was cheap, and a lot of people fear that Europe is really expensive. So you guys have found ways to live there affordably.
Yeah, Europe is not as expensive as everyone makes it out to be if you kind of stick to the plan. We set out a plan to stay near but not in like our target destination, and that helped us save a lot of money combined with the long-term rental discounts we found.
Yeah, and food is cheaper than in the U.S.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
And we always found in Europe it's fresh. A lot of places it's a really fresh food.
Some of the farmers markets we've seen here are just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So can you guys give us a little bit of information about what is your job entail, or what kind of career path are you leading that allows you to work remotely?
So I've been working from home for a pretty big technology company since the day Kai was born. I actually signed the paperwork for my new job while Chelsea was in labor. But I'm a laptop jockey, which really means I'm a designer, web designer, and a development specialist. So I help my company build their website. And the best part about it is that my team is remote and we all work through telecommuting. So I can be anywhere and that will link me up to my team as long as I have a Wi-Fi connection.
Do you still work the typical, you know, 9 to 5, or are your hours more flexible as you go?
It's kind of a mix of both. I have a meeting schedule on the Eastern time zone, but they're not always the same every day. So I usually start about 3 o'clock in the afternoon till about 9 or 10 at night, but I can work before or after those hours. So I can be flexible, but I also still kind of stick to a 9 to 5.
Did you find it hard to find remote work, or just due to your skills and your background? Obviously, jobs that entail computer skills allow a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to have someone reach out to me. Chelsea and I both worked at an advertising agency when we met. And we both have a lot of similar skills and work on the computer a lot. So we have been building our network since we met, really. And that helps us a lot find jobs where we can kind of fit the job to what we want to do with our life. So the networking was the biggest part. And, you know, that being said, if you do want to find a job like this, you know, computer skills are great. But it also kind of, if you want to go from a regular traditional job to a remote job, you need to really put in the time looking and pursue that goal doggedly, because everyone else kind of, the secret's getting out. You know, people want to work remotely and work from home.
Did you guys ever consider the Upwork type sites where you're marketing yourself not through a company? Or did you know just for more of a routine and more of a standard income, you wanted to work through a company?
Yeah, I was lucky to have the traditional employment where, you know, get the benefits and the 401k, but we do regularly check freelancer.com, Upwork, Fiverr. You know, there's a whole slew of job boards that are strictly for remote employment.
A lot of people we're connected with actually do the full-time consulting. They manage their own clients. They have to keep up with them on a regular basis. They usually make great money, and it can be implemented in a variety of fields. But, you know, there's definitely it's a different aspect. They don't have the traditional benefits like the 401k and health insurance. They pay out of pocket and stuff like that. So those people tend to use freelancer.com, Upwork, Fiverr, all that as kind of like an up and coming stepping stone until they build that network. It seems like most of the people that have made themselves in this freelancer opportunity are now networking so much they don't need to use those services.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a while to build it up. A lot of people we know have been doing it for a while. And once they get established, that's when you can really be fully independent and carry yourself through the world on your job.
Thank you for touching base on that. I know some of our audience has asked about that. I know Rod and I actually had considered doing type of a Fiverr freelancing type work at some point, depending on how long our finances last. So it's nice to know it can be a good resume builder, a good jumping block into maybe a future opportunity.
Yes, definitely. There are so many opportunities out there. And I just, to mention a couple more, it's been really cool, you know, using Instagram and, you know, our networks and social media in order to connect with all sorts of quote unquote digital nomads. There's a lot of people that will start off this way or even just sustain their travel or their just, you know, work from home income, doing things like teaching online, teaching English online and writing and editing. There's also transcription services you can make money through, translation services. I've done market research for quite a while, data entry, virtual assistants, like you name it. There's affiliate programs, of course. And we even know people that do customer service from their homes. Some people sell Amazon products to suppliers. Some people work for Apple. I mean, the opportunities are kind of endless. You know, if you're willing to pull a bunch of income streams to make a nice big income stream, you know, you can make it happen.
So what does a typical day look like for you guys? Obviously, you're moving to different cities quite often, and then you have this job on top of that. And then you're also trying to find experiences and adventures for your family. So how do you kind of balance that out? And what does your day look like?
Usually my work day is 3 to 10, but around that, Chelsea and I will usually get up before Kai. She's kind of a late sleeper.
That's so awesome because our kids are up at 5:36.
Yeah, our little girl's a night owl and likes to sleep in the morning. So usually we can get in a couple hours of work before she's up. Chelsea will do some engagement or outreach. We'll try to finish up some side work here or there. And then, you know, when Kylan wakes up, I'll take her and play with her with some, you know, do some daddy things with her and let Chelsea kind of focus before I have to start my full-time job.
Yeah. So then Matt starts his work day around 2 or 3 p.m., which is 9 a.m. on the East Coast, USA. So I take over toddler duties and Kai and I will go out exploring. Matt will take a lunch break with his New York coworkers, and then we will all eat dinner together, and then we'll put Kylan to bed and maybe do a little bit more work after that. So
yeah, we usually do this schedule every other day or so. Since we're traveling, we like to make time to go see what we're around. I mean, you guys know that. You're in these fantastic places. You need to make time to enjoy them.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, because otherwise, what's the point, you know? So we try and balance that sightseeing or that experience of traveling with our work and kind of take an every other day approach.
We recently noticed from following you guys on your Instagram page that you've also found out that house sitting can be a great way to reduce cost. How did you find house sitting opportunities and how has this helped with budget?
So you actually mentioned what our typical day looks like. And we forgot to mention that we've been waking up lately around 6 a.m. to feed about 30 chickens and quails in the morning. Yeah, right now we're in Bavaria and we found a house sitting opportunity via Trusted House Sitters. And there are a bunch of other services like that. But one of the families that we're connected with on Instagram has been doing this full time, the Trusted House Sitters, for a year. And they've been traveling around the world and they got us onto this idea of, you know, house sitting. And so for 3 weeks, we're watching 28 chickens, 10 quails, 3 rabbits, and 2 cats or something like that. Taking care of a big garden.
Wow.
But yeah, it's pretty cool because in exchange for an hour and a half of work a day, 2 hours with the garden sometimes, we're staying for 3 weeks in Bavaria in some place that we would not have stayed for free.
What are like some of the benefits and drawbacks you've seen to the house sitting process? Was it easy to book? Have you enjoyed your stay? Is it overwhelming at all?
No, it's not overwhelming. It did take some getting used to. We're at a pretty big piece of land and got a lot of animals to take care of. So we've kind of settled into a good rhythm now. I mean, the benefits are that it's free if you're willing to put in a little bit of work. So we're saving a really great amount of money for 3 weeks here when we'd otherwise be spending, I don't know how much money to stay
in a place
like this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you have your own office and they let us use their car. They even want us to hang out here for a few days afterwards when they get back to spend some more time together. So yeah, we couldn't be more grateful for this opportunity.
You know, there's always that kind of with an Airbnb or, you know, you don't really interact with the family too much. But with a house sit, we've really gotten to know this family that we're staying with. And they've been nothing but fantastic. So it's an added benefit.
That's awesome. How far out, just out of curiosity, did you guys have to book that?
A couple months.
Yeah, it was like 6 weeks, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty short. We actually usually book Airbnbs further out than we found this place. But
well, maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Ron and I are always impressed people book so far out. We're horrible. We leave here in 3 days and still haven't booked anything. We're like, well, we'll figure it out. We're very just last minute people.
Yeah, so that is, I guess, one of the drawbacks, I guess, of house sitting. You can't be flexible in some aspects.
Yeah, you find yourself a little more locked in to the house or apartment you're in. And obviously you can't stay overnight anywhere and you have to take care of the animals. So a little bit of freedom you give up, but the exchange of saving all that money is really worth it. Yeah.
So you've talked about a little bit of the places you've gone, but what has been a unique travel experience that you've had recently?
So there's not one in particular that we've had recently, but we've really tried to focus on immersing ourselves in local culture and supporting this thought of ethical and sustainable tourism. As we travel more and become more confident in our travels, we've been talking to the locals more and realizing the impact of what big tourism has on the economies. So there's been some really unique things that we have done lately. We have celebrated, I'm going to butcher this word, but it's Kräftskiva in Sweden. And it was the late summer crayfish party that is a major Nordic tradition. And you wear like funny hats and you sing loud Swedish songs and drink schnapps all night. And so we were also able to immerse ourselves in the local culture in Norway. We shared meals with locals. We ate reindeer meatballs and traditional pickled herring. Also in Croatia, we, with our host family, we were able to sit all night talking about life in Croatia in the 1990s with fresh caught squid peka, which Kylan really loved. But we were able to enjoy all these meals with locals and sit around and just kind of do what the locals do. And it is kind of unique, you know, being able to do so much of that so often, is to be able to immerse ourselves in the local community.
We've kind of made it like part of our routine almost, but part of our goal everywhere we go is to just kind of blend in.
I definitely love that aspect. I think for us, like our first couple stops when we started, it's like we're going to go to all these popular touristy places. And then quickly we have found that, you know, we don't really want to stay in the main city that everyone goes to. We want to find a cool, you know, outer town that has more of that local vibe, and then maybe spend a couple hours at the touristy place just to see it, but not to spend our whole week there. So we're trying to find that balance now because we found that those are the most memorable experiences.
Absolutely.
Do you find it easier when you're doing a homestay versus an Airbnb to get immersed in the culture?
I would say that. This time especially, we're really seeing how this family lives in Bavaria. You know, they've let us kind of into their lives a little bit. So we've seen, you know, how they go grocery shopping and what they do with the animals and how they interact with their neighbors and the people around them. And we're not just, yeah, in the city, you are kind of drawn to those touristy things or people can cater towards tourists, but we're out here in the woods. So we're really seeing what a real Bavarian family lives like. And that is, I think, maybe it's because this is the first house sit and not an Airbnb. This may be one of the more unique things we've done.
So what would you say to other families who are considering full-time travel?
I would say that one of the things when we first started was that we knew we wanted to go see all these beautiful places, and Instagram was like not our motivator, but it was like the window into this world. And what we've realized after doing this for a while is that it's a lot of work. Like, it's a lot of work to pack and unpack, move, plan, work while you're on the road, adjust to these new situations, because a lot of people travel for vacation and we're not on vacation. So we can't treat it like vacation, but we have to plan a never-ending vacation in a way. Like, we're booking these things and flights. So it's just a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, we don't live luxuriously on a big holiday all the time. Like, you kind of see the little bit of Instagram snippets, I suppose. You see the highlights. But our biggest thing is that that's fine with us. We don't need to live luxuriously. We just decide to live where other people decide to vacation. And so that gives us more time together as a family. And that's been pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I guess if I would say the biggest advice is if you're dreaming about it, don't call it a dream, like make a plan and call it a plan. And if you plan it right and you don't treat it like a dream, then you won't have to dream about it anymore. You can actually do it.
So there you have it, guys. That was Matt and Chelsea from Unsettled Down. If you're interested in remote work and what opportunities you can have working while being on the road and traveling full time, you can always check out their blog, unsetteleddown.com. Or if you want to follow along on their adventures, you can always go to their Instagram page at unsetteleddown. We also wanted to take this time to tell you thank you for all of the amazing feedback that you have given us throughout these past couple of episodes. Really, your thoughts and your ideas have fueled much of what the show is today. So once again, thank you guys, and please continue to provide that feedback. You can always DM us or message us on Instagram, Facebook, or even email us hello@thejetsettingfamily.com. We are more than happy to answer any questions and incorporate any more tips and tricks that you guys have for family travel or anything really travel related. As for our family, we are continuing our adventures throughout Malaysia and moving on to Langkawi. It is a small island on the northwest coast of Malaysia, really close to Thailand, and we're really excited to highlight this destination on our episode next week. So for that, please tune in, please subscribe, and turn on those notifications so that you can be the first ones to hear about the beauty of Langkawi, Malaysia. We hope that you have a fabulous week, and as always, happy jet setting. The music for today's show has been provided by The Long Valley, with additional music by BMC.
The Podglomerate. A Sonic Universe.